for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, August the 30th, 2014. Kyle Neese is the speaker of this service, teaching on Spirit of Soberness.
We thank you for your name. Something about your name, Lord, that we're asking you, Lord, to touch us. We're asking you to change us.
Yes.
Give us a new view, a new outlook because of your name. Lord, the world cries and moans because of the sorrows of sin and stubbornness and pride. And never mentions your name. We thank you for your name. We bless you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, just to touch us. Lord, I just ask you. I'm believing. I'm counting on your word. I'm counting on at the reading of your word, that you might render forth healing in your people. You sent your word to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My wife and I went to visit our grandson this past summer, during the summer here, past month or so ago. We were in a restaurant, and in the restaurant, you know, they played music, playing these old kind of, sounded like they were playing old songs that I remember from my past, you know, back in the 70s, 80s, you know, the songs you went to high school on, you know, all those songs, and it was one of these, you know, a place in Florida, and we were eating some food, and songs were going on. The song kind of caught my attention, you know, because I thought, what, sounded like an old song I heard in times past. It turns out it's a fairly new song, but the song is called Heaven by a group called the Los Lonely Boys. It's caught my attention so much I may just read you the words to it. It just sort of seemed odd in the place. Here's some guys are having all these old songs, and all of a sudden this one comes forth and it's talking about heaven. I read you the words to this just to make a point. Save me from this prison, the words caught my attention. Save me from this prison. Lord, help me get away. Here they're singing rock and roll music, and here, because only you can save me now from this misery, because I've been lost in my own place. And I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? I don't know. I need to change. Change my way of living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me? And he goes on and on. I was shocked. I thought, man, could these guys be Christian? Could they know anything? Turns out it's a group of guys called the Los Lonely Boys from somewhere out in West Texas. I suspect they knew something. But I thought, you know, I went back and looked up the words of that song because it made me curious. I thought, you know, the cry was from the misery and chains. And I thought, what's a human condition? You know, that song went, I think it went maybe several times, certified platinum. Mm. Several times, I think. I mean, it was a big hit. Apparently the world liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, heaven, the world's crying in misery for the chains that they're in. But no mention of Jesus, not one mention of his name. And I thought, God, not one mention of your name. The whole world loved the song, but no mention of Jesus. The only one who can save us from the misery and chains. You know, glory to his name. You know, well, I thought, well, you know, we live in a world that's in darkness and a world that doesn't really get it, Lord. But we need to recognize. You know, I thought this message, I thought, I'm probably going to repeat myself. I probably have repeated. You probably, well, he said that already. Well, that's probably right. I'm just telling you that up front. It's probably right. I probably have said it. It may be the same message every time I come. Maybe it's the 3.31. You know, it just seems like, but the truth is, it's just not that complicated. It's just not that complicated. You know, it's Jesus online all the time. It's really what it ought to be for all of us. If we're really going to get it, it's going to be Jesus all the time. Wake up in the morning, Lord, help me. Carry me through the day. If we're really going to get this thing like he wants, you know, You know, I think the great divide in Christianity, you know, we said the great problem in the church is unbelief. I think the great divide in Christianity is it hinges on one word, it's holiness. It hinges on that word. And if holiness is not the foundation of your Christian experience and your ambition going forward, you're on a slippery slope. That's true for all of us. It's a path without that word holiness in our life. It's a path of bondage and destruction.
Amen.
That word holiness, how we treat it, it's where the rubber meets the road for us in our Christianity. You know, I mean, seriously, what do you think about that word? Well, I'm a Christian. Well, I don't believe in holiness. That means that you just believe God's happy with the way you are. You're just who you are, happy for who you are, and never have to change. That's not Christianity. That's not biblical Christianity. It's founded on that word holiness, and if you don't believe that, I'm preaching to myself, you know, if we don't believe that, you know, we're really in a state of unbelief, and we're on a slippery slope. You know, that path, that word holiness, that greater upward call for what God had, it led Moses to the wilderness. It took David to a wilderness place amidst the rocks. It left John, took him past the lights of Jerusalem and left him out there in the wilderness. Jesus in the garden, that word, you know, that word holiness, it puts you in a sometimes a lonely place, that word, looking for God. You know, and I thought the gospel, and the gospel is costly. It's costly. And what we need is the spirit of soberness. We need soberness to recognize. The spirit of soberness to wake up and recognize God does, He does expect something from His people. He's looking for, it's a free gift. It's everything He did and nothing you did, and you and I need to, however, going with what was said by Nikki yesterday, it's having that everything He did, that gift applied to my life. You know what I'm saying? If He gives me the free gift, but I do nothing with it. If He gives me the free gift for my benefit and my offensive move to go forward and accomplish something for His name and to better myself, so to speak, then I've completely missed the point of His free gift. I completely missed the applied blood shed. And I thought, you know, how must that make God feel? He gave up His only Son. He gave up the only thing He had so that you and I might overcome. And we don't take a hold of it. Well, you know, I think that's what Nikki was saying. We got to take a hold. You know, this world and its lies, the world lies to us. Have you ever heard the saying, it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission? You know what I mean? That's a lie sometimes we believe. Well, it's easier to ask forgiveness. I'm going to do that and ask forgiveness later. Yeah, you ever been there? We've all been there, haven't we? Foolishness. It's a foolish thought. God, we need the spirit of soberness to wake us up and go, son, that don't do that. That's not what you need to be doing. You know, God, we need to call on Your name and be asking permission. You'll give us forgiveness, but God, I need to call on Your name for some permission. We live in a world that says, well, you know, sex won't hurt. Adultery's okay. You know, you can take fire to your bosom and not be burned. Yeah, sure, right. And no rules, just right. Not so. We live in a world that lies to us. We need the spirit of soberness. You know? The TV show, Mistresses, Playing with Fire. Wife Swap, Desperate Housewives. You know, thinking, you know, this world is in bondage. You know? The world says, do what feels good, do what feels right. You know, it's my way. Who was it sang the song, My Way? Did it my way. Took the blows, man. Took the blows. You sure did. Took the blows. Did it my way. You sure did. Now, so much so, don't even realize the truth of what you're saying. There's an old song, an old Andy Williams song. A song he got famous singing. That escapes you now, it's so famous. But you probably know the song. You know, the Moon River.
Moon River.
Moon River. Yeah. Yeah, if you think about it, he's singing about death crossing that river. I heard an interview one time. They interviewed him. So he didn't know. He just liked the song. Great song. So made him into a superstar. Hit. He didn't even know what he was singing about. Song singing about death, man. Singing about death. Crossing that river, you know. This world is in bondage and we don't even know what we stumbled. God give us a spirit of soberness. His spirit, His name is a name that brings soberness. His name is a name that brings healing in its midst. Oh God, help us. Help us to be healed. Help us to be whole. Let your word be sent, Lord. The word that we read, cause your word come up over our lives, Lord, to heal us. Touch us. I'm thankful for that something about his name. You know, I've been thinking, meditating on this last, last number of months, you know, that idea of Jesus, the word says you reap what you sow. True. We don't believe that. We don't want to believe that, but you reap what you sow. I see now some things. You know, God, I'm sowing some things. I'm reaping some things. I've sown. You know, I didn't think that. So, but it's so. It's true. You know, when God gave us the spirit of soberness, because I think what that will work in our life is to do and to accomplish those things that we say, God, I can't. God, I can't. There is that part that only God can do, but there are some things that He requires of us, that He asks of us. Obedience was with all those kinds of things. Sometimes we just don't think we can do it. And the truth is, our unbelief just won't let us. The truth is, we can. The truth is, we can when we recognize the truth of His Word by spirit of soberness that says you're going to reap what you sow. Oh, God, you require some things of me. Oh, your salvation is contingent upon some things that you're looking for. It's a free gift, but it was for the basis of producing works in my life, good works. God has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. He calls us ambassadors, saints. He has an expectation of those who call His name. Just make no mistake about it. And we need to believe that. When we believe that, God begins to move in our life in a sober spirit. You know? We'll miss something. But you know, I thought something the other day in reference to the spirit of soberness and why it's so important. I thought, you know, sometimes this world says, well, you got the pain. You know, I thought back of that song those guys singing, God, save me or help me. You got to help me. You know, I'm in this prison. And yet, you know, the world says, here, do this, take this, and give you some euphoric thing. Makes you feel better for a minute, you know, until you wake up empty and you got to do it again. Make you feel better for a minute. And I thought, you know, God, what a stupor. The spirit of this world, it's a spirit of drunkenness that causes to numb us and dumb us down to the point where, you know, I've managed my pain. I didn't even care. I forgot all about it. I didn't even know. I went through life in complete ignorance about what's really going on. Instead of seeing that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not of this fleshly realm, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. That means that they're entirely spiritual in nature. And through His name, I can access that power. The only place I began to really see with the kind of insight that He wants me to see. You see, this world wants us to think it's euphoric, utopia, and that just here, take this, and it'll be all okay. But it completely misses the point. And I thought, you know, God, you give us the spirit of soberness. You know why? So that He might let you feel a little of that pain. You know, the Word tells us to identify with the sufferings of Christ. Why would He do that? So He might, you and I might recognize it was painful. That death on the cross cost Him something. It was painful. I'm not saying that your salvation is contingent upon you, you know, beating yourself up, feeling the pain. That's not the point. But I believe sometimes we're wondering, oh God, save me from this. Oh, what do you think? What do you think sometimes, Nikki mentioned it yesterday. Sometimes those things, God's a lot loud. We're thinking, we're calling it the devil, and it's God. God sometimes is wanting you to wake up with a spirit of soberness to cause you to feel a little pain, so to speak, to recognize We need Him. We need to call on Him. And I thought, you know what? I need a spirit of soberness so that I'm in touch with my senses. I'm awake in this world, in touch with my senses, what I see, what I hear. I'm not denying the obvious, but I'm also not denying the essential. Is that I see with the eyes of the Spirit, and I recognize, hey, it's not just what I see. It's all the above, and it's God giving me a special insight by the spirit of soberness that caused me to wake up and understand so we wouldn't be destroyed. God, give us the spirit of soberness. The Bible says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Sounds like it might be a little struggle. Sometimes the struggle is necessary for your benefit, for our benefit, you know. God wants us to call on His name. The spirit of soberness removes the element of surprise. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 6, look what he says. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. This first point, the spirit of soberness, removes the element of surprise. It takes away the element of the enemy's surprise attack. That's why soberness is necessary. It involves watching, right? First scripture, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, Let's watch and be sober. Sometimes the vigilance of having to be up a little bit might cost you something. May be a little pain. May I like that? I like having to get up. It made me feel good to get up. As I said yesterday, sometimes it's easier for me to read the Bible than it is to pray. Sometimes it's easier to do something else I'd rather do than either one. You know what I'm saying? It's going to cost you something. It's a discipline. You know, it's not, sometimes we want everything in life. I'm one who wants everything in life to come easy. And I'm finding out it doesn't really work that way. Not always. You know what I mean? Sometimes it does. Sometimes God does things, you know. But other things He leaves for us to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's a process by which He wants us to work that out. It involves watching. Don't sleep like others do. Don't be, you know, tormented by fear and worry because of the element of surprise. He wants to remove the element of surprise in our life where the enemy has an advantage. But we need the Spirit of God who brings soberness. The fact that I'm not surprised says that I've risen above to see over into the enemy's plan. That's watching. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep at night, they that drunk get drunk at night, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as for the helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. I thought, you know, that hope's so important, isn't it? Hoping in Him. We need to cast our hope on Him. You know, if we're hoping in Him, we're going to be watching. You know, if we're watching as the Lord wants us to watch, we're going to be on the enemy's element of surprise. In this same chapter, he tells us to not sleep, but be alert and sober, to watch and be sober. Verse 3 and 4 says that, or look at verse 4, he says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. Your children of light, children of the day. He's encouraging them to watch and to be part of the spirit of soberness so that they're not overtaken, so that the enemy's not overtaking their life. Keep sober. The word says in 1 Peter 5, 8, keep sober. Your adversary, the devil, he prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So there's a word to be sober. God wants us sober. You know, the problem sometimes is we don't really believe that. The enemy prowls about like a roaring lion. You know, if we really believe that, that means he's looking for an opportunity. If we really believe that, we're going to be watching 24/7. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be watching. We're going to be on the alert. You know, that's offense and defense in a sense. You know, that's the offensive. Watching. So you're not taken by surprise. Is that right? When you're taken by surprise, you do have to do what? Busted play. You have to play defense. Is that right? Yep. Take by surprise. If you're back on your heels, you've got to play defense. Is that right? God wants us rather offensive, so we're watching for the enemy so that we're not broken into and stolen from. You know, I was broken into here a few weeks back when I had some tools and what not a good feeling. I've had that happen a few times. Not a good feeling when you get broken into. And you walk in and you start, I mean, to be honest with you, your first thought is unbelief. You just can't believe anybody would do this. I mean, all right, you go, I mean, how would you walk in there and just steal? I can't get my mind around that. Why would you do that? I mean, why? And so my first shock is just unbelief. I'm kind of walking in like, wow, somebody broke the door. Front door's open. Wow, how did that front door get left open? You know, how did that back glass get all broke out? You know, like you complete. You just don't believe it. You can't believe anybody did it that way. Huh? I mean, that's always been my first response. The last two, three times I've had that happen, just like shock and all. And finally, you wake up after you kind of go through all the fog and haze. You wake up after your third room in the house and looking, and you kind of place look like. Had that happen one time in San Antonio. They'd taken everything and stolen stuff. And look, I mean, it looked like one of those old movies where they went through and they ransacked all the place and dug stuff thrown everywhere. They went through looking for everything. I went through every room in the house. I couldn't believe it. Finally, on the third room, I went, whew, I guess they got it. They got it all. They just about got it all. The policeman said, don't worry. He says, you know, usually, you know, God does that for a living. He kind of makes a little mental note of the TV he didn't get. And a few weeks go by and things cool off. He knows where you can get something and how to get in. Boom, he come back and get that. Sure enough, they came back. That's a horrible feeling to get broke into. You know what I'm saying? Somehow we just put all that up and just kind of go on about our business and, you know, wouldn't think of getting an alarm system, you know? The initial shock and unbelief of all that, but isn't that where we are? We just kind of put it all back together and go back business as usual. You know, that's the way we do God. That's the way we do God. And he says, well, son, what you need is a spirit of soberness. All of us. You know, we're all here sons and daughters. God's saying, sober up. I believe this is the word. You know, honestly, I had a whole stack of stuff I could. And this was the one thing I felt like the Lord wanted to say. I mean, really. And it's not. I just felt like this is what the Lord wanted to say. So that's why I'm sharing. It's the same reason we sang that song. I believe that's what God wanted to do. I believe he told me that this morning. I believe God said, I want you to do that. It was like boom, to boom, to boom. He gave me line on line what to do. That's all he did. That's why we're sharing this message. But I think he's saying it's for a benefit. Whether you like to deliver or not, receive the message. God says, you need a spirit of soberness. I want you to have that spirit of soberness in your life. There's some things that are barriers to that. Namely, that spirit of unbelief that just don't want to believe that could happen to you, or don't even want to believe for the first few minutes that it's even happened to you. But we need to wake up and go, hey, wait a second, this really happened. And I need to take some steps and precautions so this doesn't happen again. That says, I want you to have that spirit of soberness because it can remove the element of surprise, and it involves watching with me. Watching with me. That means not just opening your eyes. If you do that, you'll just be deceived. I want you to use the eyes I gave you, but I want you to use the spirit that I give to you too, because he's my helper. He will lead you into all truth, and he will not forsake you. He will tell you what I'm like, and he will connect the point from where your 2 feet stand to the throne room of Jesus. That spirit is your only connection. You ain't gonna know Jesus any other way. He's the only connection to Jesus' throne. He is his agent here on earth, and he's who he ordained for you and me. And yet sometimes we just don't want to believe that. We want to believe something else. I say that to myself too, but we just sometimes just numb and dumb to what it is we ought to be doing. It ought to be Jesus online and all the time, 24/7, really. It ought to be the Jesus channel 24/7. And sometimes we just don't get that. We need the spirit of soberness. Because the devil does prowl about every moment like a roaring lion. He is looking, he is watching, he is hunting for your life, and he is, if you're not, looking for the opportune moment. And the crack of daylight you give him, he will take it and he'll exploit it. He's looking to exploit every little bit of daylight you're giving. So that something the Lord would say, by soberness, I have the power through that spirit of soberness to cause you to be able to close that door. You didn't think you could. Yeah, I could. Yeah, push up the door. Yeah, you can turn the key. You can turn the lock. There's some things that he's given for you to do on the other side of that door.
Yes.
You got to shut the door. I heard a guy say one time, he said, you got to shut the door. He said, God shut the door on some things in my life once. This is old guy had been in prison. He got out and got his life right, had an air conditioning business, and came and looked at our air conditioner that we need in our building. He took out his billfold and he gave a $100 bill, and he put the $100 bill in my hand. He said, that's my faith offering. I'm sowing into that. And so when you get ready, you call me and we'll put that air conditioner in for cost, and here's the first $100 to do it. I'm believing by faith. He said, God did some things in my life a long time ago. He shut the door on some things that I know I can't open that door back up. He knew there's some things God wants him to keep that door, keep it pushed through. God, give us a spirit of soberness so we can remove the element of surprise so we're not taken by the enemy. The spirit of soberness relates to fulfillment, covenant fulfillment. You know, Nikki mentioned yesterday, there's some things that God's looking to fulfill. You know, it's not free, and you know, we could, that's not the point. It's the free gift. The word says it's a free gift, but there's some conditions, you know, there's some conditions to go with that gift. There's some things he wants you. He's not giving it to you just to squander it. He's giving it to you to do something with. That's the whole nail on the head right there. That's the point. God says, I'm giving it to you because I want you to take it. So this spirit of soberness relates to you and me fulfilling the covenant requirements that he has. It's the course requirements to the faithful. It's to fulfill the course requirements. He's given you the schooling. He's given you the class. He's given you the classroom experience. He says, I just want you to show up, come to school. Come to school. And I'll do it. I've taken care of all the payment. I just want you to come to school, sit and humble yourself, and let me teach you. That involves waiting. Is that right? Work out your salvation in fear. Well, I asked God. He didn't answer for me, so I got mad and turned away from him. What a fool. I mean, really? Why don't you just jump off the cliff? You know? I mean, that makes about as much sense. No, God didn't ask you. He may have told you to wait a while, son. I wait a while and work it out. I got some things I want to teach you in the interim. I'm going to do what I say I'll do, but I want to teach you. I want to teach you to be faithful. I want to teach you to be worthy. I want to bring in you a spirit of soberness that can cause you to wait on me.
Yes.
so that you're willing to wait. So you can fulfill the covenant. You can fulfill the conditions of the requirement. Turn to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, I think. He says, "Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry." Wow. He's telling that to Timothy. Man, I'm looking for you to prove something. Isn't that interesting? Boy, what do you think is God don't expect? He's expecting some proof.
Yes.
Is that right? If he did, because I'm going to tell you, if he did it, if he really did it, there'd be some proof there. If he really did. If he didn't, you just prayed the prayer, you just did something, you don't know what you did. But if it's a real deal, there's some proof in your life.
Yes.
God says, "I'm wanting to prove it. Watch thou into all things, endure afflictions." Oh, that's some hardships. I think the word says endure hardness in another translation. Endure some hardness. You know, our society and our culture has told us it's all easy. It's pie in the sky. It's the American dream, and it shouldn't have to be that hard. You know, I mean, it should be so convenient and easy. Watch and endure hardness. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. You think he would tell Timothy that, and he wouldn't tell you as his royal ambassador, his royal priest, whom he's called you to be? He wouldn't tell you to prove yourself in the ministry that God's called for you, as you've taken His name? I think He would. I'm sure of it. It involves waiting on Him. It says, "Henceforth," there, verse 8 says, "there is a crown laid up for me. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that loved His appearing." Wow. They loved His presence. They loved being in His presence. They loved Him showing up into their lives. Is that right?
Yes.
To all who had pleasure in getting into God's presence. That doesn't leave anybody out if you thought it did. The course requirements, the spirit of soberness helps us to fulfill His course requirements and endure through hardness, endure through hardship, and prove some things that the waiting involves, that God will work with you and prove some things in your life. He will prove where you didn't think you could, you can. And that's why the word says, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Is that what Paul said? Paul said, "I can. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." So there's something for us to do. I said this, my son and I were talking the other day. It was like, you know, sometimes we were likened it to a marathon. What we're doing here is running a marathon. We're running a marathon with Jesus, you know. Sometimes in our excitement and our zeal, we want to just get it done. Is that right? Some of you are wired. To be honest, I'm the kind of person who probably needs to a little more zeal to get it done in the short haul. You know what I mean? Rather than just kind of drag it out and wait. Some of you are ready to get it done, be over with, and go on to something else. That's a good thing. But it's not necessarily good when it comes to your salvation, because God wants you to wait, because it's going to be on His time frame and not yours. So God says, sometimes our zeal to get it done says, "God, I need to work and prove it. I need you to get through the exercise." You know, what are you doing in the wait? Are you proving your faith? It's an opportunity to prove your faith, to believe on Him. The old math professor said, I want you to give me the answer. Then I want you to show me your work. Is that right? Why? Because he knows you didn't steal it. If you just wanted the answer, you could have stole it. Is that right? I want you to show the work. You think God's any different? He says, I just give you the answer. God's just not looking from our speech, from our lips. He's looking for the answer to be born in our life, so He knows that we didn't steal it, but that we own it. We're not renting it. We own it. We own it. I want to read this scripture to you. It's in 1 Peter. You can turn there if you will, if you want. 1 Peter. Let me see if I have it. I brought my phone up here, and I made a mistake because I have another translation that I wanted to read this in. And lo and behold, it started ringing on me. However, I thought it was worth just to record this because it's 1 Peter 4. I'll read this to you. 1 Peter 4, 1, not through the first two or three verses. Listen to the way this puts this. "So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude He had and be ready to suffer too." Oh, wow. Well, I'm just looking for Jesus, sister. Wham, bang, good for me. And we are. We're all looking for Him to do something. It's something He can do. But I guess what I'm trying to say, the spirit of soberness does involve a little pain. Wakes me up. Man, I need some help with this pain. Well, maybe that little pain is causing you to cry out to Him to do only what he can do. Whereas if you didn't even feel it, you were numb and dumb to it, you just sort of dragging your leg around and you were happy. And God's saying, I want more than that from you. So since Christ suffered in physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest. Okay, I get it. It's trying to get my mail. For you have suffered physically for Christ. For if you suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. Their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild, destructive things they do. So they slander you, but remember, they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge even both the living and the dead. Quick and the dead, where it says, another translation. So, you know, I read that just to say that, you know, there's some working it out. There's some working it out that he requires in our overcoming, but we need the spirit of soberness to wake us up so that we can wait on him to do that kind of work, so that our work can be proved out, his work in us can be proved out. He can say, well, I didn't, you know, it's waking up. You know, this morning I woke up. You ever heard the old saying, I woke up and smelled the coffee? Wake up and smell the coffee? I woke up and smelled the coffee. Had my alarm set, but I smelled the coffee. It's really weird. You know, I was laying there and all of a sudden, zing, I woke up. It was, I mean, an ever so slight aroma of coffee. I woke up. You know, I woke up and smelled the coffee without alarm. Without an alarm. And I thought, you know what? God's presence should be, the fragrance of Christ should be such in our life that we wake up, we smell the fragrance. We wake up and come to the fragrance without alarm. You know, we get up in the morning, we begin to wake up and smell the fragrance, and we begin to find ourselves in his presence. I think it puts us in that place that we'd be without alarm. It would be people who are watching and people who are waiting with the spirit of soberness. Jesus will wake you up. He'll wake us up under the spirit of soberness. Lord, we thank you for your mention of your name. We thank you for your name. We thank you, Lord, that there is something about your name. Lord, we ask you just wake us up in our senses. Cause them to come alive. To see that, Lord, there's something sweet about your name. There's something about your name, and we can't even define it. I can't even know what the word even says. We're a lifetime living, and we can't even get it all. But Lord, I thank you that you're able to cause an aroma to be something we want, even if we just taste to a measure. Lord, we ask you to cause that to increase the spirit of soberness so that, Lord, we come to our senses in you. Thank you, Lord God. The spirit of soberness relates to this proof that he wants to do. The spirit of soberness is the last thing is that turn to 1 Peter again. 1 Peter again, verse. See if I have it here. I'm going to have to go. Someone just read 1 Peter 4, 6, and 7. 1 Peter 4, 6, and 7.
Well, I'm going to this end once God can preach. Speak to the dead that they might be judged indeed according to men, which was according to God, the Spirit, for the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sound of mind and be sober in prayer.
Sober in the prayer. That's the point I want to get. The Bible says be sober in the prayer. How does your translation say it? What translation did you read out?
ASV.
ASV? Is this okay? Has anybody got a King James? Or you got a, what does it say?
But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch under prayer. That's the
verse 7. Sober, 7, yeah. Be sober and watch under prayer. So the spirit of soberness involves a watching under prayer, right? It involves, you could say it involves this prayer that is an advancement of the enemy's defeat, right? That's offense again. We're back to offense. That work of prayer, soberness, it enables fitness for prayer. The spirit of soberness. It makes us fitly able to want to pray. Because I'm watching and I'm waiting. I'm alive in my senses. I'm sensing a work by his Holy Spirit. And now I'm in a place of fitness for where he wants me to pray. He wants to enable my prayer life. 1 Corinthians 15. Go there if you will. 1 Corinthians 15. I think it's long about verse maybe 33. The King James says, "Do not be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." I think another translation says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Be in the presence of bad company corrupts good morals. In other words, we need God's presence. The counter of that would be God's presence. Is that right? If it's true to say that bad presence corrupts good manners or corrupts good morals, then good presence, you know, does the converse. Is that right? You know, somebody that would be fair to say that based on that word. And someone said to me the other day, you know, they mentioned someone, he was a coach, so use the expression, "You're breathing better air now." You know, in other words, you're in a more healthy environment. You're breathing better air. That's a good thing. I thought, made me think, better air. I thought the presence of God, that's better air. Yeah. Being in a place where Jesus is, it's rare air. It's better air. It's rare, and it's not anything like I think, but it makes me privy to how he thinks, how he processes things, and what he wants me to be. It makes me fit. It causes me to see that there is a word, there's a scripture that says, "Discipline yourselves." That's under the purpose of godliness. That there's a cost to following Jesus. It's going to cost you something. It's not all fun and games. You know, I think you said we want to sometimes have a church and it was fun, wonderful experience. It's fun. Those folks could really identify with me. You know, sometimes I'm thinking maybe if I could put a roller coaster at the farm, a real big high one. You know, I mean, go up and down. I think probably get some folks out there who want to ride that. You know, but sometimes, you know, sometimes it grieves me. I think, you know, you can post something stupid on the internet and have 25 million hits. Something evil, something kind of wicked, something a little sleazy. 25 million hits. Say something about Jesus. I can post something about Jesus and I'm doing good if I get maybe 4 or 5 people look at that. Man, big day for me. 12 folks looked at that. 12 folks read that all over the United States, all over the world. 12 people popped that in and opened that up. Thank God somebody's looking at it. But you know what I'm saying? It's just somehow, you know, this world and the message of this world, it just sells, doesn't it? But it's I'm telling you, it's a lie. And it's the crying song, with no Jesus. But Jesus wants a different experience. The spirit of soberness enables me and makes me fit for prayer. You know, when he says this to the Corinthians, "Don't be deceived, you know, be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners." Then he says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not knowledge of God." I speak this to your shame. The New American says it this way. He says, "Become sober-minded as you ought and don't sin." I'm going to wake up. Be sober-minded as you ought. The New Living says, "Think carefully." So he's talking about this spirit of soberness enabling my mind to think carefully, to pray correctly, to not be deceived, to be in the right presence and to recognize whose presence I need to be in. It's a state of spirit of prayer. To be awakened to righteousness, that means that's to become sober-minded, to have the right kind of mind. You know, we put on the helmet, salvation, the hope, the right garments. We're in the right place. And he said some don't have the right knowledge of God. In other words, they don't have the spirit of soberness. The sober spirit, the sober mind gives me the knowledge of God. It connects me to God's thinking, his mind. That's where the mind of Christ, where Christ is. And I was transported there by the spirit of soberness, the spirit of Holy Spirit of soberness that brings me to see holiness as his aim. Holiness is the foundation of my Christian experience. It should be my ambition going forward. If it's not, I'm tending to be on a slippery slope. Holiness, it is attainable. It is a work of God. It is the work that he wants for us, and it should be the aspiration of every Christian. It should be our desire. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying you got it on. I'm not saying you know, that's the lie of the world. Of, oh, well, you're not. You never can. You know, I never met anybody that could. All those Christians, they think they're so self-righteous. Think what you want. God has got something for us to aspire to. No, we're not perfect. If it wasn't for God, I'd be the biggest, vilest offender. The worst of the worst. God, help me. God, help us to see your spirit of soberness can make us fit to under prayer. You know, to the degree that you can pray, this spirit of soberness, to the degree you can pray, you're about to overcome something. To the degree that you can pray, you can really connect with Jesus and what he thinks. You're about to overcome something. You're about to get a hold of something. You're about to get a hold of a little joy that can bring some excitement in your life and to give you some hope to live another day. Is that right? God wants to do that. He wants us to overcome. You know, Peter has much to say. If you look at 1 Peter 1, let's turn there, and I'm about to close. But 1 Peter 1, you know what's interesting and blessing? You don't take the time to do that and go back and look, but if you look at 1 Corinthians, we read in 15 just a minute ago, if you go back to the first of the book, Paul is very upbeat with them, that God has called you all to saints. You realize the people that he's talking to, the people of Corinth. Corinth was an economic hub of economic activity in that world, in the place of that day. It was a cosmopolitan place. I mean, it was a New York City, big, high living, high rolling kind of place. Everything under the moon, every wicked possible thing took place in Corinth. The temple of the goddess of love was there. 1,000 temple prostitutes. You could go, and that was part of their religion and worship. This is what these people came out of, and God called them as saints. He called them up out of that. He's called them up out of from the ignorance into a place of knowledge, up to a place where they could be fit to walk as saints and call on his name. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 says this, "Gird your minds, wherefore gird up your loins, the loins of your mind. Be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Peter goes on to say much about sober. We reread verse 4, verse 7. He says, keep sober. Verse 5, 8, where he says to be sober because the enemy's prowling around. You know, Peter had a whole lot to say about soberness. Why would you suppose that would be? You know, this is speculation, I suppose, on my part. But, you know, if you look at Peter's life and just study him a little bit, he was the one that whooped off Malchus's ear, right? He was gonna take it in his own hands and cut off the high priest's ear. And he was about to install Jesus as king right there. You know what I'm saying? He was gonna do, you could say, the right thing the wrong way. Stand up for Jesus. You know, I mean, he was the one who said, you know, he had a high estimation of himself. Lord, everybody else will fall away, not me. I'll never deny you. And he denies him three times. Is that right? He's a picture of all of us. You know, I mean, Peter's the one that you could say is the one that's the leader, the one that's not afraid to speak up, the one that's got the gift of boldness. And what does he do? He's bummed out because Jesus is gone and I'm going fishing. His leadership is going to take them back into the same trade they came from when Jesus was calling them up to be his witnesses. You know, I think Peter had much to say about soberness because there was a need to sober up in his life. There was a need to find joy even in the pain, even in the suffering, so that he might could share Christ's glory. You know, I want to just close this way to lead us, you know, really lead us in a prayer of soberness. You know, that we would be released, that we would lose the spirit of soberness and be released from the spirit of this world. You could say the things that are hindrances to the spirit of soberness, you could say are these. It's not an inclusive list, but the prayer of release would involve binding the spirit of drunkenness, the spirit of ease, the spirit of this world, the god of this world, the spirit of lust, the spirit of haughty pride. You know, thinking it's about who you are. You know, thinking, as long as I'm not being fake, I'm just being who I am. That's the haughty pride. That's the spirit of this world. That's the spirit of every man. Every man thinks he's an original somebody. The original fool. That's it. I mean, Jesus is the only divine original. He's the only divine original. You want to be original? Come up into his school. He can show you some things eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, that he calls us to want to be different. Let's pray. Pray with us. Stand up and let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that Lord, that you want for us to have the spirit of soberness. Lord, for each of us, Lord. We're all here, Lord, to sober up. We're all here, Lord, because I believe you want us to find a joy in loving you, to come alive to our senses. Lord, we ask you just to help us all, God, wake up with the spirit of soberness to wake up. We bind the spirit of drunkenness, the spirit of ease in this world. We bind that lying spirit that says, well, the enemy can't steal from me. And if he did, well, I'll just go back to my old way without ever looking to cover and protect. Or to try to cover ourselves by our own way. we'll just call somebody else instead of calling on you. Lord, just show us the idolatry of that. Lord, we ask you to remove the spirit of idolatry, being in love with ourselves instead of being in love with you. We bind the spirit of self-love. We bind the spirit of idolatry. We bind the spirit of this world, the spirit of lust, the spirit of haughty pride. We bind the spirit of a fool. God, we ask you, there is that bound up in the nature of all of our flesh. It's something we have to contend with. But Lord, we ask you, we bind the spirit of the fool. We bind the spirit of drunkenness. We bind that spirit of ease, foolish pride. We bind those things off of our life so that, Lord, you might loose and enable the spirit of soberness to come off on our life. And Lord, like you let me smell the coffee, Lord, help us to smell your fragrance, even if it's just a bit. We ask you that fragrance of Christ would be in our lives so much that, Lord, when we smell it, we wake up, come to our senses. We ask you, Lord, to help us. I thank you for that word. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you that you sent your word, and I believe you put that in my heart, that this word, there's something about your name that can work if we'll just humble ourselves and believe. And there's something about this word that you're able to use it to heal our life. Lord, I pray that every word that we've heard, every word that's come forth, every part, I ask you in Jesus' name, cause your word to be sent to heal us and loose over us, Lord, this spirit of soberness in Jesus' name. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we bless you and we thank you. We thank you for your son. We thank you for today that, Lord, we had church. We thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for the things that you're doing. And we just give praise and thanks for you to do more. Lord, we thank you for the food. We thank you for each person here. Lord, I believe no person's an accident. Everyone's here, Lord, by divine appointment. So just, Lord, I just pray for every person that, Lord, that you would enlighten the eyes of our understanding to help cause us just to see Jesus. That, Lord, you might just cause us just to see Jesus, just to be encouraged by his name and to find great hope. Lord, we bless you. We bless the food today. And thank you for it. Thank you for each person. Bless them. Encourage them. Strengthen them, Lord. Deliver them, Lord. Set everything we're coming to you today to say, Lord, make free. We ask you to make that free. Free us up. We bless you. We thank you for your mighty power that just does what we are not able to do. Thank you for that. Bless the hands that prepared this food for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.